come wars and fightings among you. Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Brother Joe Dees, you pray for us. Yes. Amen. Yes, Lord. Bless. Yes, Lord. Help us, Lord. Yes, oh Lord, help us, God, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. In these 10 verses, James deals with three things that I've noticed in this passage of Scripture right here. In verse 1, he speaks about a war in our members, which has to do with our flesh. And on down in verse 4, he speaks about friendship with the world. And then on down in verse 7, he speaks about the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Three things that gives us the most trouble in this walk of life. Probably out of the whole bunch right there, the flesh gives us more trouble than anything. And tonight I want to preach out of this few verses of Scripture for a few minutes right here, and looking in verse number 4 right here for a text verse, it says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world, friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." That's a strong verse, isn't it? The flesh doesn't like to hear that. But I want to preach tonight on this thought, and I hope God will use this verse tonight and use this passage of Scripture right here to help us. I want to preach on this thought. Married to Christ, and we are married to Him. You can look over in the book of Romans chapter 7 verse number 4, and it clearly tells us that if we're saved, we're married to Christ. So I want to preach on married to Christ, but in love with the world. Married to Christ, but in love with the world. I wonder how the Lord looks at us and our relationship to Him and our relationship to the world. Wonder if He sees us as more dedicated, more in love with the things of the world than with Him. The Bible says we ought to love Him because He first loved us. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave us the best thing that He had because He loved us. He loved us enough to leave the glories of heaven to come upon this earth right here and pay a sin debt that we owed. What great love that the Father had for us and the Son had for us that He would make us accepted in the Beloved by taking our sin debt away from us and making us heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Married to Christ, but in love with the world. You know, the Bible tells us in more place than one that our God is a jealous God. Now, let me use an illustration here for just a minute. I need to look at some Brother Randy back there and Miss Jennifer. Now, they're married. I wonder what Miss Jennifer would think if Brother Randy came to see her on Sunday morning and spent about an hour or so with her and said, well, I'll see you next Sunday. I got to go out here with the one I love. Wouldn't that be something? Wonder what God thinks about us in our relationship and our love for Him. Wonder if we spend any time with Him through the week or is it just a little Sunday morning date with Him? Sunday night. Wednesday. I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd right now. I know there's a lot of empty seats in here. But we need to examine our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and realize we're married to Him. And this world, friend, is going to pass away one of these days, friend. We need to get our affections on things above where Christ is. Because this world's going to pass away one of these days. Married to Christ, but in love with the world. Well, what has happened? What's happened? You look over in Revelation chapter 2 and the church of Ephesus over there. They were working, boy. They were doing things for God. He said, I've got somewhat against thee because you've left your first love. We can come to church and we can spend a couple of hours a week with the Lord Jesus Christ out of obligation, maybe a little duty toward Him to come once a week. But what about our love for Him? What about tomorrow? What about Friday? What about Saturday? What about every time we sit down to a meal? Are we thankful? Do we realize where our roof over our head comes from? The food on our table, the shoes on our feet, the clothes on our back, friend. We ought to be a thankful people because we're the most blessed people that's walking the face of the earth tonight to have our names written in heaven, friend. We're blessed. We're blessed. He's a coming for us one of these days. Oh, the lure of the world. The lure of the world. 2 Timothy chapter 3 speaks about the apostasy of the last days. And he says this, men shall be lovers of themselves. Didn't say might, says shall be lovers of their self. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Wonder, would we fall into that category tonight? Lovers of self. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Listen to me. Jesus said this in Matthew 24. He said that in the last days, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many would wax cold. We live in a wicked day. Look about. It's on every hand. We live in a wicked day. Don't let the wickedness of the day influence you. We better realize that we're living in the last days. We're living in the days of Noah. We're living in the days of Lot and Sodom. Jesus is soon to come, and we better get our hearts fixed before He shows up. What's happened? Well, I got three things I want to give you before we go home that I believe that's happened. First of all, I want to say that we've become too friendly with the world. Notice in verse 4, he says, "Ye adulterers and adulterers, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." We've got our affections set in the wrong place. We've become too friendly with the things of the world, as there's too many things that we've let creep into our hearts and into our lives, and it's influenced us. We forgot about God. We forgot about what He's done for us. We forgot about what He's doing for us day by day. Listen to me now. Friendship of the world has led to the love of the world. You know, that's a danger today. Men and women, go out in your workplace, get a little friendly with somebody of the opposite sex. There's been a lot of marriages and homes destroyed because of that. Get a little too friendly. And it leads to one thing and another thing and another thing and divorce and a mess. Amen. Friendship with the world is the same way. You just kind of creep into it gradually. And the Scripture clearly tells us, friend, the more friendly we get with this world and more attached to this world, the further away from God we get. That ain't popular preaching. It's hard preaching. Listen to me. Notice what the Bible says over in 1 John chapter number 2, verse 15. Says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now, we've got to live in this world. We want to do the best we can in this world. We want to have things in this world. But you better know, friend, that God has told us we better not fall in love with these things. We better keep our priorities in the right place, friend, and our love and our affections in the right place. He says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." We better get that through our heads tonight, friend. This thing's going to burn up one of these days. We better be laying up some treasures on the other side over there, and we better set our affections on things above and not on things of the earth. We better be getting our houses in order and our hearts in order, getting ready to meet the Lord. Friendship of the world has led to the love of the world, which leads to compromise. We've compromised on our standards, on our values. There's so many things that we've compromised on our faithfulness, friend. Hey, where's all the folks at that has professed to know Jesus and to claim Christ as their Savior? I tell you where they're at. They're sitting in the front of a TV somewhere with a remote in their hand, in love with Pawn Stars or some kind of junk on TV. Amen. Now, I like to watch Pawn Stars. But I ain't going to lay out of church and sit on my sorry backside when God's blessed me all the day. It's time to come to the house of God and worship Him. And to be thankful and to bless His name. But I'm afraid, friend, that friendship with the world and the love of the world has led to compromise in our lives. It's led to compromise in our homes. It's led to compromise in churches. A lot of churches is compromised so you can't tell the church from the world. They've opened the doors and they let every kind of junk come in, and God has moved out, and preaching has moved out, and praise and worship has moved out, and the world has come in. Compromise. Friendship with the world has led to compromise, and it has led to carnality. Carnal. Wonder if God looked upon us, would He say, "You're spiritual or you're carnal?" I wonder how He'd judge us, Brother Joe. You're a carnal Christian.
or you're a spiritual Christian. We better judge ourselves. Amen? In Romans chapter 8, notice this right here. He said in verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, here it is again, is enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." We better watch our carnal minds. We better build up the spiritual man. Hey, the flesh and the spirit are in a battle daily in our lives, friend. And whichever one we lean to and love and feed the most, that's who's going to rule our lives. But I'm afraid the love of the world has led us to compromise, and it's led us to carnality, friend, to the place, friend, to where we ain't nothing but a withered fig bush, a vine without any fruit in our lives, friend, because we're carnally minded. Never give thought to the things of God. Carnally minded, friend. Oh, listen to me. Not only that, friend, will it lead to compromise and carnality, but it'll lead to conflict, to confrontation and chastisement. God is a jealous God, friend. Hey, He'll let you wander out of ways, friend, but you better get ready for the hand of God to come down on you. It amazes me that how people live, Brother Joe. Listen, we want to use God as a spare tire. Amen. Listen, we'll do God just any old way. Any old way. But when we get in trouble, friend, we want Him to be right on time, right on the spot. Help me now, Lord. Good thing He don't treat us like we do Him. Amen. The Lord will chastise His children. He'll try to get you back right. Or He might even just bury you. Amen? It's led to compromise, to carnality, to chastisement, conflict, confrontation, friend. It's also being friendly to the world has led to a lot of church closings. Amen? People don't need the church anymore. They need the world. That's the mindset. Hey, it amazes me how people can get up 70, 80 years old and lost as a goose. Have no thoughts about going out and meeting God. There's been a lot of churches, I believe there's a lot of churches that's had to close because of compromise, carnality that's come in and took over. And it leaves a lot of children with confused minds. Listen, our children need us. These little kids that we sent downstairs a while ago, they need us. They need us to be faithful. They need us to be spiritually minded. They need us to lift the Lord Jesus Christ up before them. Every time that we come into the house of God, we ought to be worshiping God, and they ought to see and realize that we are serving a living God. Well, I believe we've become too friendly with the world. James said, he put it right down to the road. He said, "You adulterers and adulteresses, you're in love with the world." Not only have we become too friendly with the world, but we've become too fleshly in our walk. Back in Romans chapter 8, in verse 1 says, "There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." We ought to be led by the Spirit of God. Not just on Sunday morning to the house of God. We ought to be led every day by the Spirit of God. We ought to seek daily to be filled with the Spirit of God. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Listen now. I wonder, do we realize the importance of being filled with the Spirit of God? Of being led by the Spirit of God in our walk as we go day by day through life. One day we'll step out and meet God. It's important for us as Christians who name the name of Christ to be led of the Spirit of God as we journey through life. Listen, to become fleshly in our walk, number one, it leads to wars. James mentioned it in verse number one right here. He mentioned about the war in your members. The flesh. Wars within and wars without. If we're not Spirit-filled in our lives, friend, it affects us inwardly and it affects us outwardly. God has us in this world in our walk, friend, for a purpose. He wants us to be Spirit-filled, He wants us to be Spirit-led, and He wants us to be out there witnessing and doing the work that He has for us. Wars within and wars without. He goes on right here and he mentions something in verse 2 and 3. He says, he mentions about lust. He mentions about praying and not obtaining. And he mentions about praying and not receiving because we ask amiss that we might consume it upon our own lust. Could we examine our prayer life tonight? And let me ask you, do you pray more about physical needs, about material needs, than you do spiritual needs? How about it? Do we pray and ask God to fill us with the Holy Ghost and use us? Or is it always when we come to God some kind of problem that's physical, that's family, that's on a job or whatever? We're servants of God. Reason we have not, we ask amiss. We ain't got our priorities in order. God said if we'd seek Him first in His kingdom, all these other things would be added unto us. He knows what we need before we ask. Listen to me. Fleshly in our walk leads to wars within and without. It also leads to wickedness. Now, the flesh is not going to lead you into holiness. This flesh will always lead you to wickedness. The flesh loves dirt. Hey, flesh and blood is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. It ain't going there. Because the flesh is wicked. Amen. We're going to lay it down one of these days. In 1 Peter... in chapter number 2, Peter says this, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul." Hey, let me tell you, there's a war that's going on in us every day. This flesh wants to lead us to wickedness. The Spirit wants to lead us to God. So we better watch our flesh. Abstain from fleshly lust, he says right here, that war against the soul. The psalmist said this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." He said, "Try my thoughts, Lord." And he said, "See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of life everlasting." All of us got wicked ways in us. You believe that? You look about this room right here and you pick out the sweetest little old thing in here. The most holy looking thing you can find in this room right here. And let me tell you what God says. "If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." We got an option. If we want God's blessings and God's help, humble ourselves, pray, seek His face, turn from our wicked ways, Then he said he would what? Hear. Heal. He's our help.
Fleshly in our walk leads to wars within and without. It leads to wickedness.
And let me tell you, it'll leave you wounded. If you live in your life for nothing but the flesh, you know what you're like? You're like the prodigal son. He took what the father had for him, and he looked out yonder in the world, and he let his flesh lead him all the way down to the hog pen. And when he lost it all, he come to himself. Realized what he'd done. Thank God there was a father that was looking for him to come back. I wonder tonight if the Lord is looking at us out here in the hog pen somewhere and waiting upon us to just turn back. 2 Chronicles 7:14, He said, if my people would just turn back to me, if they just seek my face, if they just call on me, hey, he said, I'd hear from heaven and forgive them. We have to make the first move. Amen? It leaves you wounded. And I'm going to tell you something else, too. It'll leave you scarred. You notice that, boy? At the father's house, went off to the hog pen. You know what his scar is? He's always been called the prodigal. The prodigal. The prodigal. It marked him. We better watch our flesh. And let me give you this last thing right here. Speaking about the flesh. In Luke chapter 12, there was a man that lived his life for the flesh, for the lust thereof, never giving any thought to God. The Bible says that his ground brought forth plentifully, Brother Joe. He said, my, what in the world am I going to do? My barns won't hold all this. He said, I'm just going to have to tear them down and build new barns. He said, boy, I've got it made. I bet he was thinking, man, look at my 401k. Look at all my land and my houses and my barns. I have got it made. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to kick back. I'm going to take it easy now. Boy, I've got it made. But God said, thou fool! This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all these things be? Better watch your flesh. Better watch your flesh. It'll take you away from God. Take your mind totally away from God. Boy, I wonder what that would have happened in that feller's life if he'd have seen what God had blessed him with. Wonder what would have happened in his life if it had humbled him. And if he'd have said, God, I thank you so much for this. I'm going to give you a tenth of it. I'm going to give you tithes of it. Lord, I'm going to go beyond that. I'm going to give you an offering, Lord. Then a different story, wouldn't it? He didn't recognize God. He wasn't rich toward God. What a sad story that is. Don't become so fleshly in your walk that it takes you away from God. You better be mindful of Him 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Because He's coming back at a time that you think not. We're going to stand before Him. We become too friendly with the world. We become too fleshly in our walk. And we become too forgetful of our weakness. Too forgetful of our weakness. And this is where the devil comes in. He knows our weaknesses. He knows where to tempt me. He knows exactly where my weaknesses are. He knows exactly where your weaknesses are. And He'll do everything He can to put you in a situation where He can tempt you in that weakness. You believe that? He's alive. He's well. And isn't it amazing right here that James goes on right here and he says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil. We're going to have to put up a fight. We're going to have to recognize his devices. Listen, friend, when the devil comes and tempts us, friend, we ought to have something to fight with, to resist with, to recognize who's doing this, to recognize that, hey, he's a thief that comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He wants to break up your life, your home, your marriage, friend. He wants to ruin your name. Many a man, many a woman has lost their testimony because they fell into the wiles of the devil. Now they're marked. They're marked. Listen to me. Hey, we become too forgetful of our weakness, friend. We need to resist the devil. We need also, friend, to repent of our sins. Hard to admit your own sins, ain't it? Now, I ain't got no trouble pointing out sins in your life. Amen? Don't bother me a bit, but when I go to examining myself and examining my own sins, then it gets a little heavy, don't it? But listen to me, friend. He said, submit yourselves to God. And then in verse 10, he says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, friend, and he'll lift you up. This is a picture of repentance. Humility, friend. Repentance, a contrite spirit, and a broken heart is what God is looking for. Listen, we need to call sin, sin, just like God calls it. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes that there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We are sinners by nature, saved by grace. But friend, we're still living in a world that's under a curse. And there's a devil here, and let me, we're still in this old body of flesh, friend, and we're prone to sin, we're prone to fall, friend, we're prone to leave the God that loves us. There's something we can do about it. Resist the devil. Repent of our sins. Hey, rearm yourself. Ephesians chapter 6. He said to put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Hey, we ought not to be weak Christians. We're soldiers. He's called us to be soldiers, to be fighters. And we've got a battle to fight, friend. Lastly, this. What's happened? Listen, married to Christ, but in love with the world. We become too friendly with the world and we fell in love with it. We become too fleshly in our walk. We become too forgetful of our weakness. The devil used it against us. So we need to resist the devil, repent of sins, rearm ourselves, and this, we need to renew our vows. We need to renew our vows. God loved us so much that He gave us His only begotten Son to bear our sins, to suffer for our sins, to bleed and die for our sins. Thank God He rose from the grave for our justification. Listen, the Lord is faithful. Shouldn't we be? Shouldn't we be faithful to Him? We're married to Him. Shouldn't He be the love of our life? Really? We're heading to a marriage supper one of these days. If you read in Revelation chapter 19, there's a marriage supper. We're married to Christ. We're headed there. We ain't going to stay in this world forever. This thing is coming to an end, friend. We need to renew our vows. Sister Sherry, will you come to the piano? Wonder tonight, is there anybody that'd love to get in this altar and tell Him that you're sorry? Tell Him that you love Him. Stand with us. Do you love Him like you ought to. Bible says He's loved us with an everlasting love. That old prodigal boy that went off to the hog pen, God loved him just as much as He did that old boy that stayed at the house. God's love is amazing, isn't it? He loves us enough that He's coming back for us one of these days. Getting us out of this old world that's under a curse. Getting us out of this flesh that's prone to wickedness. Going to give us a new body, a new home in heaven. A place where sin will never enter in. The devil can't be there. He's going to be in a lake of fire. Hey, we'll never have to say, "Lord, I'm sorry," again. We'll never have to repent again. There'll be nothing that enters in that'll defile in that city. Lord, every day I examine myself before I go to sleep at night. Brother Joe, I always have to say, "God, forgive me." You know what? He's faithful to forgive me. Because He loved me. Hope everybody's heart's right with God. Anybody need to come before we leave? Thank you. All right, I appreciate you all being here tonight. I want to tell you I love you. If I never see you again on this side, I hope to see you over yonder.